Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the NovaCare Complex. Dave Spadaro with you. We are here on this Monday following the Eagles' loss to the Denver Broncos. We will discuss that loss with you. The Eagles at 1-3 after that opening night win against the Washington Redskins, three consecutive losses. Looking ahead to the New York Giants on Sunday, MetLife Stadium. The Eagles just one game out, despite the three games in a row the Eagles have lost here, just one game out of the lead in the NFC East. Looking for big picture stuff here, guys. Eagles need to get a win, and they need to get it on Sunday against the 0-4 Giants. So we will talk about a lot of things here. We obviously will discuss the loss to Denver, a high-powered Denver Broncos offense, really just making very few, if any, mistakes. Peyton Manning, awesome. 28 of 34, 327 yards, four touchdowns. Look at that quarterback rating. Absolutely tremendous. They spread the ball around. They throw with great timing. And they take a lead, and that really takes the Eagles out of what they wanted to do. The Eagles came into this game trying to establish the running game and doing a fine job of it on the edges with LeSean McCoy, a little Bryce Brown, some Chris Polk mixed in there, trying to keep the ball away from Peyton Manning and company. Eagles driving the football down the field early, but settling for 3 points instead of seven, and you just can't do that against Peyton Manning and the Broncos. He does not miss many receivers at all, as the Eagles defense found out on Sunday at Sports Authority Stadium at Mile High. So a lot to talk about. We encourage your phone calls today, give you a chance to assess the Eagles at the quarter pole of this 2013 season. We'll take those phone calls from you shortly. Chip Kelly coming up as well. He's had a chance to look at the film and talk about what he's seen there. And also, I really think the focus here is going to be on the New York Giants and on getting this season turned around into the right direction. Let's get you caught up on the day's headlines. Bo Wolf does the honors.
Thanks, Dave. The Eagles back to work today after the lopsided 52-20 loss to the Denver Broncos on Sunday. Dropped the team to 1-3 on the season. Obviously, going up against Peyton Manning, the defense was in for a rough day, but so was special teams, giving up two touchdowns, one on kickoff return and one on a blocked punt, also missing a field goal. So special teams will be a focus this week as the Eagles prepare to return to the division schedule. Of course, they're 1-0 in the NFC East, 1-0 in the NFC, the three straight losses coming against the AFC. And the one silver lining of this slow start is that the NFC is a combined 4-12. The Cowboys atop the division at 2-2. The Eagles and Redskins both at 1-3. And the winless New York Giants, 0-4, they will be the opponent this week for the Eagles. And hopefully that winless streak for the Giants can continue. Of course, Chip Kelly's press conference coming up live right here on Eagles Live in a little bit.
All right, thank you very much, Bo. Eagles, of course, looking ahead to the Giants. What an NFC East. Eagles at 1-3, just one game behind the Dallas Cowboys, who lost a lead at San Diego yesterday. The Cowboys 2-2. The Redskins get their first victory of the season in comeback fashion against the Oakland Raiders. And then the Giants going out to Kansas City and the Chiefs walloping those New York Giants. Eagles have really had a tough time, as has the entire NFC East, against the AFC West. The Eagles have lost to two 4-0 teams, one 2-2 team. And, of course, they have beaten the 1-3 Washington Redskins. So the schedule does appear to ease up just a bit here in the coming weeks. Eagles must take advantage of that to make a play in the NFC East. We take some phone calls, 215-339-6709. We're going to take a look back at some of the postgame comments from last night and also Chip Kelly at 1 o'clock. So we invite your phone calls. Let's start in New York and talk to Zomp. Zompy, good morning.
Mr. Spadaro, what's going on?
How are you?
Well, how am I? I got no gel in my hair. I'm a disaster this morning.
Right.
Listen, man. Is it bad to say, like, you know I'm a diehard, but is it bad to say, like, I'm not even upset about yesterday, if you know what I'm trying to say?
No, I don't.
Like, we knew, not like in that way, but we knew we were going to, like, get killed yesterday, but not, like, in that fashion.
I mean, I never go into a game thinking that. I mean, I certainly respected going in the challenge. I think the Denver Broncos are an outstanding football team, and I recognize that the Eagles are trying to put the pieces in place, but I get very upset after losses.
Oh, no, absolutely. I'm upset. It's just like, I don't know. I guess I had it expected in my head. Like, I didn't expect much. Maybe I thought we were going to play hard and we'll lose a close game, tight game, but I didn't expect that. But anyway, I'm really moved on to the Denver, to the Giants. I'm not even focused on Denver no more. My you know, all three phases has been playing very poorly the last two games. It's evident, you know, that's stating the obvious. In my opinion, though, like I'm concerned. We all knew that the defense wasn't going to be good this year. It's a work in progress. Changed the scheme, obviously, but I'm concerned about this offense. I'm concerned about this receivers are not getting open. I see Vic. You know, he had protection at times yesterday. It played a little better than they did against Kansas City, and I'm not going to put this on Vic. I really believe that these receivers are not getting open.
You know, I think it's probably, thanks for the call, Zomper. It's probably a lot of things, really. I thought the Eagles, they did play hard. I thought the first half was pretty much the way they wanted to execute the game plan. Keep it close, chip away with the run game, play physical football offensively. And they did that. And that drive late in the first half when Vic went to DeSean Jackson to the, I believe, the 19-yard line or 19-yard gain into the red zone area of the Broncos. Play gets called back because of a holding call on Evan Mathis. Eagles end up not putting any points on the board at the end of the first half. Critical, critical turnaround for this football team. The Eagles wanted to keep it close and then take their shots at the end of the game. So I liked the approach. And defensively, they didn't want to give up the big play. They wanted to make Manning work for it, and I get that as well. But in the second, I mean, you just can't fall behind like that. It just changes the whole complexion of the game. You have to maximize every opportunity, and that's what was disappointing yesterday. Eagles had the pass to Brent Celek early. He dropped it. They had penalties, blown opportunities, missed field goals. They gave up two touchdowns on special teams. The defense didn't get a takeaway. Every phase contributed to the loss. 5 of 5 in the red zone for the Denver Broncos, 2 of 5 for the Eagles. I mean, that's your ball game right there. 8 penalties to 2. So, you know, this was a chance, as I saw it, to take a look at the best team in the NFL and see where you stack up. And it's clear the Eagles have a lot of work to do. And I think everybody would agree with that. Yanni in North Carolina joins us. Yanni, hello.
Mr. Spadaro, how you doing,
sir? Hi, I'm all right. I'm trying to shrug this one off. All right, just like
hey,
you guys,
I understand.
Trying to shrug this one off.
And I know it hurts more because you're actually in the environment.
Yeah.
So it's
nobody's
like,
happy today.
I can definitely understand that. But, man, I have a couple of things to get off my chest. First,
okay.
I think the defense, we knew it was going to be work. But, I mean, like, even when I watch other games and games that they played and other teams, it's like I don't see any pass deflections. I don't – every time a receiver catches the ball, not just Denver, but any time a receiver catches the ball, it's like the nearest person to the tackle is 5 yards away. It's crazy. And, I mean, I'm not just blaming it on the defense. I think everybody had a part to that loss, but it's like, man, I wasn't expecting, you know, that much work. And, you know,
I think the Eagles did try to blitz Manning with
right.
no success.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they wanted to keep everything in front of them, and he just
right.
picked him apart. I mean, it was bad.
Why
is there an Eagles fan? Why did that Eagles fan catch whoever that was, Thomas,
mm-hmm.
in the end zone there? What was that all about?
I mean, look, the
defense, I don't have an answer. Bill Davis has to come up with something. The Eagles are ranked 32nd in the NFL and last in total defense.
The other thing I wanted to say was, I don't know if you noticed it, Riley Cooper, I like Riley. He's a big body. He's a great blocker. But, you know, watching Wes Welker, I'm wondering, I'm saying, well, wouldn't it be nice if the Eagles had someone who was short to stature, quick, and could go good in open space? And I was like, oh, my gosh, we do.
Demaris Johnson. Right.
You know, everybody was raving him about camp, and it's like you're not even using them. We have 3 great tight ends, and I think, you know, we have to get out of that 11 personnel because, you know, I don't think anybody's really fearing Riley Cooper.
So first of all, about Riley Cooper, okay? And Yanni, thank you so much for the phone call. About Riley Cooper, he is a good receiver, he is a good blocker, and he's a big body, and that's what he is. So don't try to make him into something he's not. That's what he is, and he's good at it. The Eagles lose Jeremy Maclin. They haven't had the opportunity to get anybody to step up. They are not able to get the last couple of games here that big play down the field, that vertical defense stretching play that worked so effectively with DeSean Jackson the first couple of weeks. Haven't had it. So, there's going to have to be some adjustments made here from the offense, from the defense, from the everything, you know? It's amazing. Guys, let's go up to MetLife Stadium on Sunday, beat the Giants, get back into things in the NFC East, and our perspectives will change. This is going to be a long up-and-down season. It's called putting the foundation in place and building from that. And that's really, I think, the way people are looking at it here, putting some of the pieces in place. They're not all there yet. There's no question. So there is going to be some patience required. This is a new regime. And maybe that win in Washington changed your expectations, but it shouldn't, because the Eagles have a lot of work to do. When we return, we take a look back at last night, Michael Vick's press conference and Chip Kelly's, and we'll talk about that as well. Chip Kelly coming up live in a bit here on Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Maybe I should get that.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Brian Urlacher?
I'm back to defend you from DirecTV's latest offer. With DirecTV, your bill more than doubles after a year.
Not cool.
And they lock you into a 2-year contract that could cost you over $3,000.
That's a lot of cheese.
That's why the smart play is Xfinity.
They've got everything a football fan could want. Go long. Don't get sacked by DirecTV.
Oops.
Xfinity is your home for the most live sports. Call 1-800-XFINITY today.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
All right, we're back. Dave Spadaro with you. Eagles Live, the name of the show. We'll get to Chip Kelly, your phone calls, and more in just a bit here. Let's visit again last night in Denver. Michael Vick, Chip Kelly, press conferences. The best of the best, what they had to say, and kind of put it all together after that tough loss to the Denver Broncos. First up, quarterback Michael Vick.
You got to be able to put it all together, you know, when you need to. And that's in all phases of the game. And you know, if it doesn't happen, then you get the results that we had. You know, we're still going at the same pace. We just got to execute. I mean, we had the ball inside the red zone two times, and that resulted in two field goals, but it should have resulted in points, especially playing against this team. So, you know, little things like that prevents you from, you know, being in the game. And, you know, when you're playing catch-up, it's even tougher. Yeah, we were trying to run the football. That's what we do. That's our identity. And, you know, just try to keep them off balance between that and the passing game. And, you know, they lined up and played us in a lot of man coverage, and we wanted to take advantage of that. And those are the things we got to be able to take advantage of. We got to win, you know, when we're getting pressed up. We got to win when they want to play man, and we can run LeSean all day. So it's just winning the one-on-one battles, you know, starting up front and, you know, on the outside of the edges. You know, I would like to have more time, but, you know, I got to go with what I got, and I try to make the most of it. And, you know, regardless of what, I keep fighting with those guys each and every day. You know, I believe in myself, but, you know, at the end of the day, we all got to look at the mistakes that we made and figure it out in order to help this football team. You know, I certainly know I want to do my job to the best of my ability, and everybody has to feel the same way. I'm looking for the guys to come back enthused, focused on the New York Giants. You know, a different attitude, you know, a different approach. You know, it took us, you know, 2 days last week to get over the loss to Kansas City. That shouldn't happen. We should be over this. It should burn, it should hurt, because that's what it's supposed to do in this profession. But we got to find a way to get that juice back, get that enthusiasm back, and look at what's ahead of us and understand that we still control our own destiny. You know, Coach Kelly just addressed it to the team, and, you know, I feel like it's a lot of guys on this team that should be stepping up as leaders right now. And that's part of their responsibility. And I'm going to keep a watchful eye on these guys and see who step up, you know, who's staying optimistic, you know, who's continuing to believe in the man that's next to him. Because that's what it's going to take. If we don't have that, we don't have anything. You know, I could tell we was all dragging, including myself, you know, and I'll be the first to admit. But, you know, Coach Kelly, you know, pulled me to the side and got me going. And, you know, that changed my whole mindset. So, yeah, guys, we'll bounce back. We'll bounce back. We understand what's ahead of us, and we've already been talking about it. And we just got to take it one play at a time, one game at a time. So, you know, I'm looking for the leaders to step up, though. You know, if that drive could have resulted in some points, then we got a close game. And they got the ball coming out of the second half, and they went straight down and scored. And you know, that gives their defense the opportunity to pin their ears back and blitz and come after us. So it kind of changed the whole dynamic of the game, and that's what usually happens in football. So, you know, that's more the reason why we got to stay together. We got to play together. You know, we got to win our matchups. We got to win our battles and be fundamentally sound and understand, you know, the situation of the game.
All right, that is quarterback Michael Vick. Now, Chip Kelly was very pointed in his comments and was all about the Giants and how the Eagles would recover from the loss in Denver, specifically pointing to how his players would react tomorrow, as it is Tuesday. So let's go back last night. Chip Kelly talking to the press after the loss in Denver.
We just have to stick together as a group. You know, we're 1-3 right now. It's four games into a 16-game season, and as a group, we just need to stick together. Offensively, we had too many drops and too many penalties to kill drives. I felt like we could move the ball on them, but you know, we get the ball down in there, we end up with field goals, and that's not going to win. You can't trade 3 for 7s with Peyton, and that's obviously difficult. And then special teams, we gave up 14 points, had a kickoff return for touchdown, and had a punt block. So, you know, Sal asked the question, what did I tell the team? I said, we got to stick together as a group.
Yeah, I think you get down a little bit. You know, I think offensively, we didn't do a good enough job. You know, if we can sustain, they went down and scored. If we can sustain and score, you know, then you're kind of trading some things with them and hoping you can get a stop once there and keep yourself in the game. But, you know, we didn't. I felt that drive offensively for us when we went on the field and didn't convert, you know, that was the biggest thing for us. So we had to get our defense back out there. And you know, when you're playing against such a good group with Peyton and then you got, you know, the other guys and the weapons he's got around them, I mean, obviously that's not it. We really needed. I thought that first drive of the first half was key for us offensively to keep us in this thing, and we didn't do it offensively. You know, when you're not going to be open every single play, but I think our guys did get off at times, and I think Mike put the ball on them, and we moved the ball and you know, got the ball, boom, 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 we're going. You know, we hit Deshaun, we have a huge play, but then all of a sudden we get a hold, so now we're backed up again. You know, so it just kind of seemed like one of those days when at times I think we put together some good drives. But when you, again, like I said, when you're playing against a team like this, you can't hurt yourselves, and I think we hurt ourselves too much offensively. I thought Mike played well, you know, and I thought he threw the ball very accurately. And I do know this, and we got to get it addressed. We got to protect him better. But we got times when he's on the top of his drop and sticking his foot in the ground and there's pressure on him, and that's not on Mike. But I thought he put the ball in real good places. I thought he kept drives alive with his legs, and I thought Mike played very well. I think it is disconcerting, but you're also playing against an offense that the four teams have tried to stop him, and they haven't yet. So I don't have an answer. You know, is it disconcerting? Yeah, if it's disconcerting if we can't get teams to third down. But the plan was to stop him. You know, the plan was to give him a couple different looks, but I think you also have to try to make him drive the field. You don't want to give one over the top. You know, the one at the end of the first half, luckily it didn't come back to hurt us, but we're in a 3-deep coverage, you know, and you hope you don't get a post route thrown on you in 3-deep coverage. So, but the plan was to, you know, to see if we can generate some rush. The difficult thing with Peyton is that he gets the ball out so quickly, and he knows where it's coming from. You know, it's a hard deal, and you know, you so you gotta wrap up, you gotta tackle, and you gotta stop. And we didn't do it enough times today. I think you have an appreciation, but I wasn't sitting there today saying, "Hey, that was a really cool play by Peyton." You know, he frustrates you. Maybe at the end of the season we'll go back and break down the Broncos tape and kind of look at what he does. But obviously, you know, when you talk about the great quarterbacks in the history of the game, you know, there's been a lot of them, but I think he's right up there with the best that have ever played it, and he's proven that right now. You know, I know he's setting records for the start of a season, so he's a great football player. Yeah, I don't think this is a, you know, holy smokes, this season's over. You know, I think every week is a season. You know, so we knew this challenge was going to be very difficult coming in just because of how the Broncos have played in their first three games, and you know, we got to go play it. You know, and then the same exact thing. You know, we got to go home, watch film on the plane, and go in and put a game plan together tomorrow as a coach staff, and then get out on the field on Tuesday and get ready to go play the Giants at MetLife Stadium. So that's the deal. So, you know, I think that's a great question, and I'll really be able to answer that question on Tuesday when we come back on the practice field. And if we come out and we're hanging our heads and we're feeling sorry for ourselves, then I'll say we didn't have any progress and growth. But I think we've got to understand that this is a tough-ass league, and you're playing against some really good teams. And if you feel sorry for yourself, as I tell people all the time, 90% of the people don't care about your problems, and 10% are glad you have them. So we got to go back to work, and that's the only thing we know to do, and we're going to go out and work and figure this thing out. But if you are feeling sorry for yourself, then we haven't made progress. If they come back to work on Tuesday, then I'll be excited about this group as we move forward. But I really believe they will.
All right, that is Chip Kelly speaking last night to the media. Wants to see how his players react starting tomorrow as the Eagles turn their attention to the New York Football Giants. A struggling Giants team, 0-4, after yesterday's loss in Kansas City to Andy Reid and those 4-0 Chiefs. I'm Dave Spadaro. It's Eagles Live. When we come back, A.J. Feely joins us, and we go back to last night's postgame show presented by Rico. He and Bo Wolf talking a little bit about the loss, what went wrong for the Eagles, and what can go better moving forward. We're coming right back. It's Eagles Live.
Hey, Philly, what are you drinking?
We're drinking Dunkin'. We're drinking Dunkin'. Go Eagles!
Dunkin' gives me the boost I need.
Pumpkin iced whipped cream. Perfect for fall.
Medium hot, cream and sugar.
No other way to drink it.
America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, $1 Million Spectacular, with five top prizes of $1 million. It's kind of fun to knock it out of the park. Keep on scratching.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Hey, Philly, what are you drinking?
Dunkin' all day. Go Eagles!
French vanilla, hot ice. Love them both.
Iced, of course.
Hot coffee, extra cream, extra sugar.
My city, my coffee. Philly runs on Dunkin'.
America runs on Dunkin'.
Jerry Azzanero, defensive line coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here, Eagles Live. The name of the show comes your way Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Big week for the Eagles. 1-3 record. Yes, three straight losses, we know. But the NFC East very much wide open. And the 0-4 Giants, the host on Sunday. Eagles looking to get right back into the thick of things as the schedule starts to get into a groove here. Let's see if the Eagles can take advantage of what appears to be a less fearsome schedule than the first quarter of the 2013 regular season. On our postgame show presented by Rico last night, former Eagles quarterback A.J. Feely in the studio. He and host Bo Wolf broke down what they saw in Denver.
Well, thanks, Dave and A.J. Obviously, it was an ugly game for the Eagles, especially in the second half as this game got away from them. But we always talk about the game being played at the line of scrimmage. How was this game lost for the Eagles up front?
We could see on the offense side of the ball, they were getting a lot of pressure on Michael. And I don't think, you know, even lanes for when LeSean McCoy was getting through, he was getting tackled by the ankles by some of the defensive linemen. So obviously there wasn't a big push or big surge there. Defensively, I mean, you can make a case to say that Denver could, they did what they wanted. When they wanted to run the football effectively, they did. When they wanted to throw it, they contained all the pass rushers. And that's the name of the game in the National Football League. What you do at the line of scrimmage with those big guys determines the outcome of the game.
And the identity for this Eagles team is that they are able to run the ball so effectively, but when they fall behind and they become one-dimensional, there's not much of a chance for them to be productive.
Yeah, this offense wasn't built to be one-dimensional. They need the running game to be successful. That sets up the pass game. I mean, they all work off each other.
And how does that work as, obviously, the threat of the run game affects the way that opposing defenses are able to get after Michael Vick?
Yeah, because, you know, if there's a run game, you'll find, especially with the way they run the football and the shotgun, eyes will go in the backfield from defensive linemen to linebackers to safeties. They'll come up to try to help. In doing so with play action, it all looks the same, and holes will be created down the field. But when you're just sitting back and you're dropping back in this offense, guys are teeing off on Michael. Guys are sitting waiting in coverage knowing that, you know, a lot of times they're not doing well on first, second down. And third down is tough when you have to get 8 or 9 yards or even more, you know, 12 to 15.
So as a veteran early in this season, you know that it's disappointing being 1-3, but you know that there's 12 games left. They're only one game back of the division. How quickly can you turn the page?
Well, you have to. I mean, you have to turn the page. And you have to realize the teams that you've played and lost to are pretty good teams. If you look at their records right now, they've done fairly well. But you have to move on. I mean, it's the name of the game. This is week 4. There's a lot of football to be played, and you haven't got to your division. Although you are 1-0, you still haven't played the majority of teams in your division, so there's still a chance.
Yeah, the silver lining here, the three losses, those teams are, as you said, 10-2 combined, all in the AFC. The Eagles now face a run of schedule where nobody they play is over 500 until December right now. So there is an opportunity for this team to turn around. What are some of the key factors that you think they need to clean up moving forward?
I think you need to address the offensive line. I think they need to be better at the line of scrimmage and creating run lanes for those guys, which is inevitably going to set up the passing game. Offensively, from the playmakers, I'd like to see the wide receivers be a little more aggressive, a little more physical with the guys they're facing. In today's game, their hands were all over them. There was times where they could have went and grabbed the ball and extended their hands to make a catch. Instead, they sat back and let guys rip their hands through and knock the ball down. And that's all about, you know, playing wide receiver. It's a physical game, and whoever you're playing against, you have to bring the noise.
Absolutely. The one thing I would add is that I would like to see this team convert those red zone opportunities into touchdowns, especially when you're playing an offensive juggernaut like the Broncos. You can't be trading field goals for touchdowns. So thanks to A.J. Feely, and back to you in the studio, Dave.
All right, good job, guys. Let's get it better next time on the football field. Eagles against the Giants on Sunday. Huge one for this football team. In a moment, we're going to get into some of the offensive, well, I don't want to call them woes, but the numbers not as strong as they were the first couple of weeks. What is happening with this Eagles offense? First, let's go to Westchester and talk to Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Dave.
How are you? Thanks for calling.
I'm all right. I'm trying to decompress after that game.
Yeah, I think we all are.
I think I had a few questions, but the first thing I wanted to say was, it's tough coming off that game to hear you talk about, you know, how good a receiver Riley Cooper is. I mean, I think he's a good blocker.
I told you what I said about Riley Cooper. Riley Cooper is a good possession receiver, big body, and an excellent blocker. To complain about Riley Cooper not stretching the field is telling me that you don't. You're trying to make him into something that he is not.
No, no, I'm certainly not. I don't think he's right. I don't think he's a good wide receiver. I think he's an excellent blocker, as you said, and we're a running team, which is why we're in. I'm a little disappointed. Look, I know Jeremy Maclin was supposed to be there. I'm a little disappointed that we didn't have more depth at the wide receiver position, but that's not what's, you know, that's just a small piece of it.
Okay.
But what I'm really, I guess I'm concerned that, you know, look, I understand new coaching staff, the whole deal, you know, long term, but it's really tough to look at that when you go over on the other side and see the Chiefs, who were, what, 2-14 last year?
Yeah.
They have the new coaching staff, too, and they're 4-0. I mean, what's the difference?
Well, the difference is this. Wait, let's talk about it, Mike. You sound like you know a little bit about football. How many Pro Bowl players did the Chiefs have on the roster last year? You know the answer to that, right?
Well,
the answer is five, Mike. The answer is five. They had five Pro Bowl players, I think four from the defense and Jamal Charles.
And how many Pro Bowl players did the Eagles have? I would say almost five as well.
The Eagles didn't have anybody in the Pro Bowl last year, Mike.
Jason Peters is a Pro Bowl player.
Mike, he wasn't in the Pro Bowl last year.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Pro Bowl players.
The Chiefs had.
Would you say that Jason Peters is a Pro Bowl level talent?
I would say a healthy Jason Peters is a Pro Bowl level talent. He wasn't healthy last year.
Sean McCoy is a Pro Bowl level talent.
Absolutely. So that's two.
DeSean Jackson's a Pro Bowl level talent.
He's borderline, yeah.
All right, that's three.
Okay.
So
your point is what exactly?
Your point is you expected
more from the Eagles. Again, I understand that. Okay, and I understand that. I will tell you this. My only thing, I know you're frustrated. Let's judge at the end of the season, not after four games. Okay.
Well,
let's judge at the end of the season.
But that's what fans get to do. We're not players. You know, the players and the coaches, they always say, look, you got to move on the game because they have a job to do. As fans, this isn't our job. We should judge through the season. I mean, that's the point of watching and following football.
Right. I'm with you. But I expected the Chiefs to be a good team. The Chiefs went out and got a quarterback who manages their offense very well. They got healthy. And they've played mistake-free football. The Eagles have clearly made too many mistakes.
Yeah. I think, what do you think about the idea that defenses are, you know, looking and learning about Chip's offense?
Sure.
And, you know, that could be a problem.
Mike, the Eagles run the ball very well. But the last couple of games, they have not thrown the ball very well. They have to figure out ways to get the football down the field in explosive fashion. That's how you score big points in the NFL. So I'm hearing, when I hear Michael Vick talk about what the defenses are doing, they're playing man coverage on the outside. They're bumping running the wide receivers. They're in press coverage. And the Eagles are not able to either A, give the quarterback enough time to make throws, or B, get the football out to the open receivers when they get open.
Right, absolutely. I completely agree with that. And
it's probably a little bit of everything.
Big picture stuff. Look, we're in 1 week. I like what Chip said, actually. 1 week season, you beat the Giants. Your season turns around. You lose to the Giants. It's a tough conversation, man.
It's a very tough conversation. It's a very important game on Sunday against the New York Giants. They feel the same way.
I want to keep rooting for this season. It starts with a win against the Giants. Big picture, though, I think the key to winning football games, though, is pass rush and a fourth quarter quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we have either one right now. So it's going to be tough to win without that stuff.
You got to win games in the fourth. Thanks for the call, Mike. You've got to get to the quarterback. Agreed. Eagles have not done that enough. They haven't taken the football away enough on defense. And they've been outscored in the fourth quarter. And what is the number in that exactly? They have been outscored in the fourth quarter 46-24. So, yeah, you've got to win fourth quarters in the NFL. Offensively, the number's not as impressive as we had hoped after that first half against the Washington Redskins. You look at where Chip Kelly's offense still second in the NFL, first in the NFC in yards per game. They are first in rushing offense. The red zone struggling. Points per game, 11th. Eagles need to be better offensively. And these are some of the things that they know they need to work on. Everybody, it's been every phase of this football team in a 1-3 start. But now we concentrate on the offensive side and go into the locker room for the offensive players' reaction, talking a little bit about this Eagles offense after a 1-3 start.
You know, you just keep grinding, you know. I just really wanted a W today, so, you know, it really doesn't feel like I scored, but, you know, we just got to keep grinding, just get back to basics and just, you know, trying to win the division. You know, I just, you know, I'm here, I'm all about team, so I'm not really into individual things like that. I just want to win. You know, I missed the whole season, you know, with an injury, and so, you know, just watching my team now, just being able to play, you know, I'm very blessed. You know, it's only the beginning. You know, you got to keep going in there, you know, just grind every week and just, you know, move on to the next opponent. You can't win, you know, your next game off of, you know, last week's touchdown. So you got to keep moving and just keep grinding and just get back to basics.
It went wrong when they started scoring so many points and we have to play catch up and it's got to change up. That changes up our game plan a little bit. You know, it's frustrating. We had at one point, I think, even in the fourth quarter, we still had more yards, I think, than the Broncos did, but we're not putting it in the end zone. And that's the biggest thing that you have to do if you want to be an elite offense. You have to punch it in the end zone when you get the opportunity. We settle for a little too many field goals. You know, I can't speak for the defense or special teams or anything like that, but, you know, just it was a very rough game for us. Well, eventually, when you got so many points, you got to start airing it out. And also, I think they're doing some things that were giving us some things in the air. You know, I don't try to look at too much of that pass run combination. I think the coaches do a really good job of understanding when we should run it and when we should pass it. Especially, I mean, this game we got our tails kicked a little bit. I don't know that there's anything. We can go look at the film and all that, but. You know, the first three games, we certainly felt that physically we did a pretty good job on offense. It was just the mental mistakes, the mental miscues that killed us. And this game, not a lot of mental miscues, really. Not a lot of turnovers and stuff on offense. We just weren't able to punch it in when we needed to punch it in the end zone.
Who do you think clicked today? I thought for a while we were rolling, we were firing back, but we just didn't get it done. Simple as that. I think all losses are the same. Got to come back next week, get together. I think it's a division game. It means so much right now, so that's the focus. Very surprised. Just knowing the type of players we have in the locker room, the type of coaches we have, I'm not surprised. If you told me that in the beginning, before we started the season, that we'll be 1-3 right now, you know, I would have called you a liar. So just got to get together. Can't panic. Got tons of games left, and it starts with a big one next week. Just knowing that it's a division game next week, that's kind of the answer, I think. Can't get down. You got to just find a way to get better. We're professionals. We've lost in the past before, so we can handle it. We got thick skin. I mean, we're still in it. I think the way the division's playing, the type of records you see out there, we're still in the ball game. So just got to keep working. I think it'll be very big next week how we respond. That shows you what type of team we really are.
All right, that's the offensive side of the football. The defensive side against Peyton Manning, well, it was expected that he would make it very difficult for the Eagles' defense, and indeed Manning did, as he's done to every team. 16 touchdown passes, zero interceptions through four games for Manning. And you see Bill Davis's defensive group. The numbers suggest that there is a lot of improvement that needs to be made. And, you know, Bill Davis continues to preach hard work, togetherness, and learning every day. So let's go into the defensive locker room and hear from some of the defensive players about the group's effort against Peyton Manning and what's ahead.
I mean, it's tough. You know, it's definitely tough whenever you give up that many points. You know, it's definitely very disappointing, low, upset. But, you know, next week, the team we play next week, they don't care about it. So whatever we have to do, we'll check this one out, see our corrections, but we got to get over it. You know, we can't just dwell on it. It was a tough loss, of course, but we can't dwell on it. We still have a lot of ball left to play. You know, still a long season, so we can't let this just, you know, demoralize us to the point where we can't come back and still fight.
I mean, I think it's just Peyton. You know, he's checking at the line. You got to give him credit. I mean, it's not just, you know what I'm saying,
He actually is a coach on the field. He sees what we're in. He changes the offense, and everything's quick. It's like he's not giving anybody time to get back there. It's quick and just moving down the field, and he did a great job of that.
It's not where we want to be. You know, we're 25% done with the season, but there's a lot of season left. Obviously, this was tough, really tough to be out there, but it counts as one, and, you know, we need to figure out what happened and move on.
They played better us in the second half, man. That's what it came down to. Executed. We just got to be better. We got to get better. I'm upset with the way I played, and, of course, we lost, you know, but we just have to watch this. We have to watch this film as a team, you know. And everybody just, you know. I don't know, man. I'm just trying to get better, man.
I mean, they're good. I mean, skill players all the way around. Peyton do a good job of. I think he do a good job of, you know, getting everybody the ball and just not just have that one dynamic person that he goes to. Every week's important, and next week, like I said, it's important. It's another big game, a conference game. You got to come in with the right mindset.
We're not where we want to be, but like I said, man, we're just going to keep working, learn from this, and, you know, correct everything and work on the fundamentals, like I always say, and just keep moving forward.
All right, tough day for the special teams in Denver. A kickoff return from Trindon Holiday, 105 yards for a touchdown, and then a blocked punt that was returned for a touchdown. Pressure up the A-gap. Disappointing day for Dave Phipp, who had some time for Chris McPherson in the postgame locker room area.
Dave, from your end, what did you see on the 105-yard return from Holiday?
Well, we just didn't coach well enough, and we just didn't play well enough. They out-executed us. Their guy's a great returner. We had a lot of respect for him going in the football game. Obviously, we didn't expect that to be the outcome. But at the end of the day, I didn't do a good enough job preparing the football players, and those guys didn't do a good enough job executing.
The block punt, a little surprise there to see at the end of the game. Was there miscommunication, anything that you could tell that happened on that play?
Yeah, is again, you know, again, I didn't do a good enough job of coaching. We didn't do a good enough job of executing. They weren't even rushing the punt, to be honest with you. And we had a breakdown in our protection. One guy didn't do what he's supposed to do, and that's the end of that.
What can you do with Alex Henry to try to get him back on track after the misses the last couple games?
You know, I believe in Alex. He'll be fine. He's obviously struggled a little bit here as of late. He had a great week of practice. We just got to keep working on it, stay the course. I think at the end of the season, everything will level out. You know, I've got a lot of belief in him. We'll be all right. We'll continue to work and fight to get better, and we got to go back to work this week.
And how important is it that you just maintain the message, just to keep the message strong and to keep working hard to, you know, improve what happened here today?
Yeah, we know it's a long season, and we knew, you know, we had to get a lot better from where we started, and we just got to stay the course and not panic. We'll be fine. You know, these guys work hard. They train hard. We got to do a better job of coaching them, and those guys got to play a little bit better. We got to execute better, obviously. But I believe when it's all said and done, we'll be fine.
All right, that is Dave Phipp, special teams coordinator. Chip Kelly comes your way in just a few moments. Between now and then, let's take some phone calls and talk to the fans. Get your reaction at 1-3. Where do the Eagles go from here? 215-339-6709. Let's go to Dion in Dallas. Dion, thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call, Dave. Been a couple brutal seasons. Every time I talk to you, it's after some kind of crappy loss.
Yeah.
A few observations that I see, and I'm just coming on, so I don't know if you've talked about these.
Please,
already,
fire away. But go ahead.
So I see the first touchdown that Broncos got yesterday to Wes Welker.
Yes.
We rushed three, dropped eight. In theory, we should have, you know, at least double coverage on somebody out there, and still they were able to run, you know, a 5 to 7 yard out with Wes Welker, and nobody's there. That tells me that the defense is they're either putting too much on them, or they don't know their assignment. For something like that to happen to me is just, you know, you go back to everybody talking about weapons and, you know, Brady and the Patriots doesn't have any weapons, but yet they still execute, they still run their offense, the receivers go where they're supposed to be, and I don't know if they're getting coached after. If you look at DeSean Jackson, I saw him a couple times in the replay where he seems to run his route. If it's covered, they just kind of break down. They don't try to move, get open. I don't know if Vic is not calling the correct protections.
Dion, you're asking good questions, and I hear the frustration. And I mean, I look at that Eagles fan grabbing the player. What are you doing with the Eagle head? I don't have the answers. I know that the defense is struggling. I mean, what can I tell you? They ran a trips right formation on that touchdown throw right there. And Earl Wolfe was too deep in coverage. That's what I saw. I could be wrong. I don't know the calls out there.
I don't know if it's back to how they're coached, because you know, when you play, I played college football in 1AA, but I played defense. So I know a zone is a zone, but when somebody's running into your zone, it becomes man to man. You have to guard that guy like you are playing man to man until the release point of the next. And these guys look like they're just dropping back and looking in the backfield, and they got receivers, you know, scrolling left and right around them, and they're not even looking at them.
Yeah, Deion, I mean, all I can say is that that everybody is aware that the defense needs to improve, and it's a new scheme, and it's a bunch of new players, and I'm just looking for improvement like you are, man, every week. I want to see something better next week, no question.
Yeah, for the defense, I would wrap it up by saying the defense, it looks like it's a scheme issue. Where the guys are confused, not a talent issue. And then on the offense, it looks just like an execution issue. You know, Brent Celek dropping balls, you know, those types of things.
Well, Brent dropped a big pass. Yep. Evan Mathis had a big penalty. Yep. Lane Johnson had a big penalty.
Yep.
There's pressure on the quarterback. It's a combination of a lot of things.
But I know that at the point where Foles came in the game, it was already over, right? And they're playing different defenses. But it did look to me like he was calling the right protections. He went. He got the ball up quickly. I don't know.
The
game goes on.
My only takeaway with that is that I think Jeff Mail might get some playing time. I don't think Chip Kelly said after the game that he's not going to make a quarterback change.
Yeah, the guys are either getting beat or they're not running the right routes, but somehow these receivers got to get open, and we got to give them a little bit more time. But thanks, Dave. I appreciate you.
Hey, Deion, call me after a win, would you please?
I sure will.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for the telephone call. On the other side, we will take some more phone calls leading into the Chip Kelly Day After press conference. Give us a call, 215-339-6709. It's Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro. We're coming right back.
Hey, Philly, what are you drinking?
We're drinking Dunkin'. We're drinking Dunkin'. Go Eagles!
Dunkin' gives me the boost I need.
Pumpkin iced whipped cream. Perfect for fall.
Medium hot. Cream and sugar. No other way to drink it.
America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Hey, Philly, what are you drinking?
Dunkin' all day. Go Eagles!
French vanilla, hot ice. Love them both.
Iced, of course.
Hot coffee, extra cream, extra sugar.
My city, my coffee. Philly runs on Dunkin'.
America runs on Dunkin'.
One more! Come on, let's go, yo! Woo! Go.
No!
One more! Woo!
One more, let's get it, let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Chip Kelly comes your way in just a few moments. Until then, let's take some phone calls, 215-339-6709. Shannon in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, joins us. Hey, Shannon.
Dave, man, got to bring a little positivity, man. How you doing today?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good, man. A couple things, Dave. I really believe we should be 3-1 rather than 1-3, but we're not. We're 1-3. Okay. Yesterday is the first game I think we should have lost. We played a better team, and if we did beat them, that would mean we would be one of the best teams in the NFL. We're not there yet, okay? We're 1-0 in our division. One game at a time is what the team says, Dave, and I think the past caller was very good about the defense. I don't need to repeat that. But I believe we definitely can go 5-1, and I know you don't like to think like this, but I'm speaking as a fan, Dave. I think we can go 5-1 these next six games and then 5-1 again. I think we – and, you know, winning will shut all this up, but we definitely need to do some work. Dave, I wanted to ask you a question.
Yes.
How probable is it for number 88, the guy from Oregon, to maybe take some of Riley Cooper's time? Because he does – I mean, I don't know about consistently, but he did look good yesterday. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Jeff gets a couple of snaps here and there. I don't know the plan. I don't know what Chip's thinking. He's obviously familiar with the offense. He's got some quickness. I like the way he played yesterday. Came off the ball quickly. But I don't think they've put the game plan in for the Giants. I will say that Jeff Mail did what every player in the NFL should do, no matter when you are playing, where you're playing, against whom you're playing. When you step on the field, you take advantage of your opportunity, and Jeff Mail did that yesterday, as did Nick Foles. But, you know, I would not be surprised to see Jeff get some time. Absolutely. Why not?
People always compare us with, like, Tom Brady. Listen, we're not the Patriots. Tom Brady's been in that system forever. We're just learning the system. So, I mean, I didn't think – I would love for us to be 4-0 right now. But, I mean, that would have been – you know, I think we should be 3-1. But anyway – I think we need to have patience. I think hopefully the defense will get it together because I do need to see some type of press coverage because when you have Wes Welker.
Well, let me tell you something. If you're going to lay back on Victor Cruz, Reuben Randall, and Hakeem Nicks,
you got it.
They're good receivers. I mean, they're better receivers. And they're, as a group, that group of receivers is the best the Eagles have faced.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, man.
So, I mean, they got to do something. Now, the Giants have had a lot of problems protecting Eli Manning. Eagles must generate a pass rush. The pass rush has not been there consistently. That's one of the issues with this defense. That really impacts your secondary. But they've got to take Eli out of his rhythm. If he has all that time to throw to Nicks and Randall and Cruz, it's going to be tough.
Hey, Dave, what's going on? I mean, I think yesterday was the first time the special teams didn't do well. The last three games, they actually been actually good. So
not against Kansas City. No, they weren't good against Kansas City. Fumbled punt and a missed field goal.
That's right. So two games were bad, two games right. What's going on with the pressure on the quarterback? I mean, I thought we had some good now, this is the question. Are we just playing against excellent O-lines, or are we not just getting pressure?
I don't know. Well, Eli, look – Eli, thanks very much for the phone call. Eli sniffs out every scheme, every disguise. There's nothing he hasn't seen, nothing he hasn't beaten. Very difficult to get pressure on him. Alex Smith, same thing, gets the football out quickly. Tough to get pressure on him. But you got to find a way to do it. You know that you win and lose games at the line of scrimmage, and you must get to the quarterback. So, you know, that's probably Bill Davis's biggest challenge here is to generate some kind of pass rush. The Eagles tried to blitz. They tried to keep it straight. They tried to mix up their looks. But Peyton was, as Bill Davis said, he was a buzzsaw. He was terrific. And, you know, they kind of expected that going in, that he would be a very good quarterback against the Eagles, as he's been just lights out against everyone this year. Abrar in Virginia joins us. Abrar, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to call in and ask you know what happened. I didn't really get to see a lot of the games. The game yesterday.
Well, I'll give you. You want my 30-second synopsis?
Sure.
Eagles come out running the football. They keep it close in the first half. They're trailing 21-13. They have a chance to drive down the field late in the first half to put some points on the board. They're deep in Denver territory. Penalty called. Drive stalls. Eagles trail 21-13 at the half. Broncos take the opening kickoff. Drive down the field in the second half. Score a touchdown, and it's just not a team that you play catch-up against. Peyton Manning was awesome. Eagles defense didn't get off the field, and the Eagles kicked too many field goals instead of scoring touchdowns.
Now, when you said too many field goals, there's only two field goals, right?
Yeah, two field goals, right.
Okay. So were there a lot of three and outs in the second half?
No, the Eagles moved the football pretty well. They had 450 yards of offense. So they've moved the football in every game. That hasn't been the issue. But when you get into the red zone, the Eagles were 2-5, and the Broncos were 5-5.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess we can just hope for the best. I'm not going to take too much of your time.
Listen,
ranting.
It's a disappointing performance. We all know that. However, the Eagles play the Giants on Sunday, and there's a chance to get this thing going. We're going to throw it out to the press conference area. Don Smolinski, Eagles president, a special award.
Up to today, and I'm going to take all the questions instead of Chip. But I know some of you guys just got back from Denver, so thanks for coming over. But it's not every day that you get to take just a moment and recognize somebody. So it's my understanding that Tom Maloney, who's covered Philadelphia sports for 25 years as a radio reporter, many of those years on KYW, that today is his last day covering the Eagles. So on behalf of the Philadelphia Eagles, we just want to recognize Tom and congratulate him as he moves on to his next chapter. So, Tom, if you could come up, we've got something for you. We have our way. So that's for you, Tom, for 25 years.
Face it.
Retired,
is it? Face it the other way. Pull it. Face it the other way, real quick. This way.
All right, now that is a great gesture. Tom Maloney has been covering Philadelphia sports for 25 years, covers the Eagles for KYW radio here in Philadelphia, and the Eagles wanted to acknowledge his retirement. 25 years, great guy, Tom Maloney. Good luck in your retirement. Enjoy your downtime and stay in touch on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Wonderful gesture there by Eagles president Don Smolinski. Really first class. Chip Kelly will be along in just a moment. Let's take a quick phone call, if we can, 215-339-6709. Dave Spadaro with you. We are live today through Thursday at 11 o'clock. And then on Sunday, we've got complete coverage of the Eagles and the Giants for you. We've got the kickoff show coming your way at 12:30. Prior to that, Eagles Television Network run of shows beginning at 11 a.m. We've got to figure out a way to get this football team back in the winning column, and we'll find out what Chip has to say after he saw yesterday's press conference or yesterday's film. Kyle in Indiana joins us. Hey, Kyle, thanks for calling.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You got it.
I've been seeing a lot of good things out of the offense this season. You know, I think the offensive line is still a little shaky, but it's doing a lot better at giving Vic a little more time and giving McCoy more time to do the plays that they need to do. Like everyone else is saying, the defense, the big question there. But
yeah, I mean, look, I, Kyle, I can't absolve the offense. The Eagles have scored 16 points and then 20 points. I mean, that's not enough, and they got to wait. So, wait, Kyle, thanks for the call. We're going to throw it over. Chip Kelly now ready to meet the media, but we'll get into that conversation throughout the week here. Let's go to Chip Kelly in the media tent.
Chip, what do you look for from your guys now this morning, when you see them if they're in, tomorrow practice, just to kind of feel like they're on the right track back?
You see the energy that they show up with. You know, today's a off day for them, so there's a couple guys I think that will go in and get treatment and whatnot. But tomorrow we come back starting with meetings. You know, what's their mindset like? What's their energy level like? What's it going to be like when we hit the practice field?
Are there any injuries that anybody not practicing tomorrow?
I don't know. I haven't met with Padu's yet, but didn't seem like there was anything serious that I was concerned with. So,
what about for you? When you talk about their energy and their mindset, what's it been like for you to process this?
Ready to go. I'm going to go play the Giants. Put the game to bed last night. We watched it and graded it on the plane ride home. Met as a staff today and went over the film, you know, offensively, defensively, and special teams. And now we're fully on to the New York Giants.
What stood out to you on the film when you looked at it? You know, there were a lot of things you couldn't tell us yesterday. For instance, what happened on the punt block, things like that.
Yeah, punt block wasn't a, I think it may have been even like a 3.5-man rush. We just had a guy trying to escape and get down the field too quick, trying to cover the punt and not taking care of the little things. And it's a lot of times it's the deals in the details, you know, the little teeny things that you got to take care of, especially when you're playing such a good football team. You can't make mistakes like that. But it wasn't even a designed punt block. It was just had a guy trying to escape too quick and get down the field to cover Holiday. I think maybe had that on his mind more than he did about protection first, and it's a protection first play. And then you turn into, you know, you got to be an offensive player first on punt, and then you're a defensive player when you cover. So, you know, part of it is just when you watch tape, it's just you get a things you can't get back, you know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But, you know, what I think is we need to make sure we show that to our guys, we correct it, and then we get out on the field and make sure it doesn't happen again.
To play you man-to-man, you talked about before how that kind of opened things up for Michael, and he took some of those yards and scrambling. But would you prefer that, him to take those yards, or would you prefer that, you know, guys win more individual matchups and
I don't,
throw the ball
I
down?
I prefer how do we get yards out of the deal. So, you know, we got to do a better job at times separating. Sometimes we're throwing the ball a little bit farther down the field, you know, trying to take some shots. And then if they do that and take off, I thought Mike made some really good decisions of when his feet can become a weapon for you, because if you're going to play man, the one thing they don't have is the ability to cover the quarterback at the same time. So. But we need to get yards out of those situations, and we got to do a better job, I think, in protecting them. We got to do a better job of getting open.
Did your receivers win enough, though? Did they win enough for you to be successful as an offense in the passing game?
On Sunday?
Yeah.
No. I mean, we didn't win the game, did we?
We've spoken a few times about settling for three when you need seven. I think there's only five red zone touchdowns this year. What's the issue when you get down there? Is it a player thing? Is it play?
There's a lot of things. I mean, you look at specifically yesterday, penalties and drops. You know, we're in the red zone, we drop the ball, we're in the red zone, or potentially in the red zone once, get a penalty, in the red zone another time, you get a penalty. So when you set yourself back and now you're playing first and 20s or second and 20s, that makes it a little bit difficult. So when we get in the red zone, we talk about no sacks, no turnovers, no penalties. And no drops, and those are the things that are hurting us. Right now it's been the penalties and it's been the drops. So.
Well, on those two early drives where you had the field goals, I think you had fourth and four in the red zone, how much did you consider going forward in those instances?
Didn't consider it at all.
What kind of thought that there would be more aggressiveness on offense or more gambling given the fact of what you're going up against with the Broncos offense? So can you just explain the approach and why you decided to go in a more conservative way?
I don't think that's conservative. I think at that point in time when we made those decisions, we're trying to get points.
What concerns you most about special teams right now?
Just the inconsistency. I think at times it's been a real strength for us. And, you know, the mistakes that were made, you know, especially on the kickoff return, the kickoff and the punt are things that we work on a daily basis. So it's, you know, things that it's not like we put in a new scheme or we put in something special for the Broncos game that, hey, we're going to try to do this. And then you kind of look at it and say, you know, that scheme kind of backfired. It's a, you know, base fundamental coverage and base fundamental protection then coverage that we didn't get done on those two particular plays. So.
Alex Henry, what's the patience level with him at this point?
You know, I think Alex is a really good kicker. I think he's been very accurate throughout his entire career. You know, it's interesting when you analyze his three misses, and they're both from 40 to 49 yards. One was right, one was left, and one was right. So. You know, when we look at everything, when someone does make a mistake, how do we correct it? You know, not that you want them, but if it was all three of them were left, then you would say, hey, we're analyzing where his plant foot is and how he's doing. Is he swinging through the ball and kind of pulling it? Or is he not blocking his hips out and pushing the balls? You know, but it was a right, left, right kind of where we've been with it. So, you know, we'll continue to work with him. He's been extremely accurate. I think he's 85% of his career. Just right now we're 7-for-10. On field goals, and when you're playing in games like this and against really good teams, that stuff gets magnified. So, but I do have confidence in him. I know Coach Phipp has confidence in him. I think he's a real accurate kicker. I see him in practice every single day. But from a kicking standpoint, I'm pretty confident in him.
On Denver's third offensive drive, they went out, started out with two tight ends, and Boykin was out there playing kind of like a quasi outside linebacker. And it seems every time they kept running at him, is that a matchup that's you know favorable for you guys?
Boykin playing outside linebacker against two tight ends?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Jeff, Michael Vick said that he's going to be watching closely some of the veteran guys on the team, making sure he keeps everybody together. Are you also talking with the guys about keeping heads up?
Yeah, we talked to everybody about that. You know, I don't think that's anything that's uncommon when, you know, we lost a couple games now that we got to talk about what our attitude is like and how we approach this week getting ready to go play the Giants. So.
Coach, it's been There were a couple of plays that the Broncos were able to make when Boykin quits from the slot. Is that are your safeties not getting into their coverage spot at the right time in that situation?
Now, I guess I'd have to know the specific play you're talking about, but there's a lot of things when you're playing someone like Peyton is that, you know, you can show exactly what you're going to do. That's where you play that cat and mouse game is, you know, we had a pretty good disguise on that play and didn't show them and tip our hand. But if you don't tip your hand, then sometimes you're not close enough to your work. You know, so it's that kind of catch 22 from where you are is that, yeah, we could put Boykin right on the line of scrimmage and then roll the safety down right on top of him. But now you've told him exactly what we're giving him. So, you know, when you're playing someone that's so that is so good like Peyton is you're in that game of how long do we hold our disguise and is our disguise a liability? You know, the same thing happened to them a couple times is they blitz a linebacker from depth, you know, and didn't give us any indication that it was going to be a blitz. But then we threw the shallow crossing route and hit the guy before the linebacker could get to the quarterback. So sometimes the unblocked guy doesn't get to the quarterback because the disguise is a liability. But the flip side of it is that if you show everybody what you're doing, then, you know, with someone as good as Peyton, he may check out of it and go the other way. So.
Plays, which there were some very large gaps in between Fletcher Cox and Trent Cole. I guess Kendricks is the guy responsible for that, but it's a pretty large gap.
You knew the play call?
No, I don't know. I'm saying it looked like he was. I'm just saying, are those gaps?
It depends, again. I'm not being evasive, but I don't know if you tell me the particular play and play 62 on this thing, I can tell you what a play call was and tell you who's responsible for that gap. But a lot of times, you just can't look at from the outside and say, hey, you know, that was the linebacker's gap. That could have been, we should have been slanting into that gap, you know, so.
Are the gaps too big?
Again,
wide?
Again, it depends on what we're playing. They both could have been responsible for the A gap and the C gap, and Mike should have been in the B gap. I don't know until I know exactly what particular play you're talking about. But there are some times when we're running plays and it's a run play, and whether we're not getting our defensive lineman into the B gap where he's supposed to be, or we're not getting the linebacker there. So you're right in that there is a big gap, but I can't tell you on the specific play that it was this guy's responsibility or that guy's responsibility.
Kendricks is one of your stars. You were talking about him a lot in training camp, his physical abilities. Is he struggling a little bit in coverage and then also wrapping up and tackles, though?
No, I think wrapping up and tackling, yeah. And I think we've talked to Michael about that, and I know Rick's worked with him on that, and that's some of the things. I think sometimes Michael thinks a little bit too much and doesn't let himself go play and just kind of, you know, pull the trigger and go. But he does, obviously, everybody's aware of his athletic ability. As he continues to grow and figure out exactly what we're doing scheme-wise and things like that, I think you'll continue to see him get better and better and better because he does have that athletic ability. But there's sometimes I think he's a little bit hesitant. He's just got to kind of go.
And his coverage, you think, is that consistent? Is he doing all right there?
He's doing all right there, yeah.
You mentioned last night after the game Michael's taken too many hits, especially the last 2 weeks. You said it's something we have to address. How do you address it at this
point? Yeah, I'm talking from a protection standpoint. You know, I don't even think we had a run play where Mike took off and ran with the ball. You know, but there's times when you're calling seven-man protections and you're varying your protections in terms of where you are, where you don't expect him to get to the top of his drop and have someone in his face. So there's not one thing and there's not one answer that it's this. And if we make this adjustment, then we're going to be good. It's all of a sudden we're in great and someone who's been playing fantastic for 52 plays on the 53rd play makes a mistake up front. And when you get beat in a one-on-one situation, then all of a sudden somebody that you expected to be picked up has now created some penetration into the backfield. So,
what did you see from Lane Johnson specifically in pass protection yesterday?
I think Lane's gotten better. But, again, when you got a young guy like him, I think Lane is not unlike Michael in terms of there's times where you just got to go. You know, you just got to trust what it was. What was a line call made by Jason Kelce? This is what it was. Don't hesitate. And sometimes when you're a half a second late, you know, and when you're on the guy, then all of a sudden he's got your back shoulder. You know, where I think Lane knows exactly what to do, but at times it's just the game's got to happen just a little bit quicker for him.
You've talked about moving from the wide 9-4-3 to the 2-gap 3-4. Are you far as long as you thought you would be there? Do you feel like you have the proper personnel to run what you're running right now? And is it sort of like a sliding scale where you can kind of go back towards a 4-3 based on your personnel and what they could do?
How many questions is that?
I got four in there.
Four in there. Good. That's good by you. We never had a where we're going to be. You know, I think it's always what the ability of our players are to do. You know, and I think you're closer to a four down front at times. But it depends on what people are doing to you. If they're really trying to run the ball, you know, I think playing a two-gap, set the edge type of defense with people trying to smash and do those different things, it really depends on who you're playing and what the scheme is. But most of the time when we're in nickel, you know, when Brandon's in the game, we're mostly in a four-down package. So you're more towards a four-down package. But a lot of that, it's dependent on who you're playing and what they're trying to do. And if they're trying to throw the ball on you, you're going to be in more four-down against them. So.
In these past 2 weeks, what are defenses doing against Deshaun that's limiting his production relative to
I think we've seen just a little bit more man, you know, and I think that's overall with everybody, you know. But I also think we've been productive moving the football. I still think we're stopping ourselves. You know, we're not getting stopped by a scheme and we're not getting stopped by a look. I think, you know, we've been in situations where we've driven the football and we've proven we can drive the football. But, again, the penalties, you know, 2 weeks ago when we played the Chiefs, it was the turnover situation and the false starts and the illegal procedures and those things that I think handcuffed us as a football team. I think this past day it was the two holding penalties and the drops that hurt us as a football team.
Did you notice a trend where either Peyton either checked into the run or maybe the play call was a run to start with when you had Logan and Gathers out there and your second team D-line?
You know, I think the one thing with Peyton is you can't tell what the trend is because you don't know what the first call was. You know, and there's a lot of times with Peyton knowing their system where it could have been a run to a run, and it could have been a run to a run to a run. And there's other times where the first play that he called, he didn't check, but he made it seem like he checked it three times. You know, that's kind of the beauty in having a Peyton Manning. But no one knows. It's easy to sit here and say, hey, he checked to a run. You have no idea what he checked to because you don't. No one's privy to what the first play call was.
Well, how did you feel in general about those two guys in that line, that second team line that you would put in there?
Who
Logan Gathers, and then sometimes it looked like Soap Wadover was really kind of second team line.
Yeah, that wasn't the second team line. It was just depending on what we're in. Soap's in base, but he's not in a nickel. You know what I mean? So that's kind of when Soap is in the game. So, you know, I think all those guys were, they were okay. You know, they weren't dominant up front, and we weren't obviously taking control of everything at certain points in times. But you know, I can't look at them in general. I guess say they were okay.
Do you like the way those guys played in the preseason? Do you think, you know, now that it's for real, I mean, those guys are, you start to see the gap between guys who can play well in the preseason, and then when it turns for real, that they don't match that production?
No, I don't see that.
How much is it the ability of your secondary yesterday with as many receivers that appeared to be wide open?
What was the first part of that question?
Well, the ability of your secondary. Basically, Chip, are they good enough?
I think it's a combination of all, and I've always said that, is it's pass rush and coverage ability. You know, and it's not, you just can't lay it on one. I think you need to generate a pass rush, the quarterback has to get the ball out in a certain amount of time, and then we have to be close enough to our work so that when we does get the ball out that we're there. So.
Successful with the short, quick passes against you this year. The Broncos were as well. Why do you think that is? What are they doing, and what do you guys need to do in order to, you know, stop them?
I mean, I think you're picking your poison. I mean, you can say, all right, now we crawl up on everybody and play press man on everybody. But then, you know, the one thing we're not, except for the long pass, you know, right at the end of the first half, which shouldn't have been thrown on us because we should have been in cover three with a post safety. But we're not getting the ball thrown over our head. You know, and I think that's when. The biggest things I think our defense has done a good job is eliminate X plays. You're not giving up a 75, 80 yarder that's thrown over your head. So, you know, I think it depends. If you're going to throw the ball down in front of us, we got to rally up, we got to tackle you, and we got to make you drive the field a little bit. And I think that's what we're trying to do now. We want to be in our zones deep to short, make sure we get 11 guys running to the football, and hopefully, you know, we can get a little bit of pressure on the quarterback and not let him throw an accurate ball that's a catchable, runnable type play.
Is that frustrating then when you guys are giving those short things underneath that sometimes they're not – you got to make the tackles in this situation.
Got to make tackles, yeah. But, I mean, you got to defend something, you know, and right now I know we're real adamant about not giving up X plays and not getting the ball thrown over our head. So.
You can tell the line of changes are pretty –
as bad as it appeared yesterday, is there anything positive you can take out of that? How do you move forward from a game like that?
Yeah, I think we did some good things. You know, I think offensively we moved the ball. There's correctable mistakes there. I thought we competed on the defensive side of the ball. You know, I think we left them on the field a little bit too much in the third quarter there. And I think in special teams, besides from the punt block and that kickoff return, you know, we're getting a decent job and decent effort out of those guys. So. I think there are some positives, and that's what you look at the negatives and you put a plan in place to correct what we're doing wrong, and then build upon the positives as we get ready to go play the Giants.
What do you want them to learn from a game like that?
To not let it happen again.
Compelled to make lineup changes or personnel changes after that game?
No, I think it's unique. It's we got 46 guys on our roster. I think almost all 46 played, so it's not like we're not getting guys in the game and guys aren't playing and aren't giving us, an opportunity right now, and it's not different than, you know, you don't have a whole other guys. Like, let's put these guys in. You know, we're rotating our defensive linemen and getting those guys in the game. Jacob Knott played a little bit of inside linebacker. Casey played some outside linebacker with in Connor Barwin's situation. Obviously, we were man down at safety with Pat being out, but, you know, Wolf played a lot of snaps. Nate played a lot of snaps. You know, we rotated a little bit at receiver. We started to get some of our tight ends into the game. I think you saw three running backs in the game. So, you know, I don't – there's not going to be, hey, this guy's starting this week, but I think we need to get all 46 guys playing.
What did you think of the way your safeties played? You mentioned Nate and Earl played a lot.
I think Nate played better in the last 2 weeks, you know, and you've seen some improvement from them. I love Earl's energy and running around, but he's you know, he's still a young rookie, just like a lot of our rookies, and he made a few mistakes. Should have been in the middle of the field on that, in that deep pass down the middle. But I love Earl's energy, and I love, you know, he's going to fly around. He's going to give you everything he's got, but he's still learning on the job.
I think that was one of Bradley Fletcher's better games.
In the four that I've seen?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I thought Fletcher did a nice job.
It evolved a little more, some more 12 personnel. Was that the plan going in, or is that more of what they were showing you on the defensive side?
We thought, you know, based on what they did, that we could get a little bit more 12 in the game and see how they, you know, see how they matched up and ran. If you're going to play man now, who's matching up in man, and when you're in 12 and trying to get those guys isolated a little bit. So that was kind of the plan going in. I think Zach has continued to develop a little bit. We see more and more from him, you know, on a weekly basis here as he starts to continue to grasp what we're doing here. So.
You didn't throw it to him.
That why, I mean, he's not a great blocker. Don't you have him out there to use him?
No, I mean, I would disagree that he's not a great blocker. I think Zach's a versatile guy that you can put in the game in a lot of different situations. So when the ball was thrown to him, he did come up and catch it, though. So.
But we spoke when drafting him about his versatility, splitting wide, playing in the slot. Mm-hmm. Is that a role you expect him to
fill? Yeah, I expect him to grow, and as he's here, I think, you know, he's four games into his professional football career. So, you know, to see him run around and line up all over the place like Jimmy Graham from the New Orleans Saints, I don't think any of us envisioned that as we put together an offense and start to figure out what he's good at, what he's not good at. But to say, hey, you've gotten two snaps at tight end now let's put you out at split end, and now let's put you in the slot, that's a lot easier said than done. You know, to get all the little nuances of how to do all the little things when you're running a shallow crossing route, and if all of a sudden that front side linebacker drops you, but the backside linebacker picks you up man-to-man, how you can stick and avoid and get across the field. You know, there's a lot of details in terms of doing it. It's not as easy as saying, hey, we drafted this guy, and he's got the ability. Yeah, he does, but I also think we also got to get him settled. You know, he's got to make sure that, you know, we all as a group got to understand that everybody here has to, you know, you got to walk before you can run. You know, there's a lot of big plans that you can do with Zach and that we can do with this entire offense, but it's going to come in a process. It's not going to come with all of a sudden tomorrow we're going to come up with 17 different ways where we can deploy Zach and put him in different situations, because it's not unfair to him to tell him, you know, this is what you have to do in these situations. He's got to be able to kind of go through them himself, and through the experience of playing the game, I think he's going to learn that.
There's only so many snaps to go around the offensive side of the ball. You talked about getting Bryce more involved. He was more involved. But Chris Polk got in there when LeSean had a sit, and he ran very strongly and had the touchdown. Is there any chance that maybe he could see a little more time?
Yeah, I think Chris warranted some playing time from yesterday. I was really happy with him. I think we've been pleased with Chris in terms of what he's done for us so far from a special team standpoint. And then when he got his opportunity, I thought he ran really hard. I thought he made a really nice decision on a pass route where we threw to him on the sideline. It ended up being a 9-yard gain for us. So, you know, that's the good thing about it is I think we have some competition amongst some of those positions where we can say, hey, we got some guys here, we got some versatility here, and we can use those guys. And I think Chris is a guy on Sunday that caught our eye, and you know, you're gonna have to look at it and say, hey, you know, Chris is in the game. Well, good, Chris is in the game. You know, this is what Chris does well, and this is what we need to do when he's in the game.
About playing more man, the team's playing you more man. Does Mike need to? How much more does he need to trust his receivers when teams are doing that against him? And maybe that they're not open at the time that he's throwing a ball, but trust that they're going to get open.
Again, it depends on what play. There's maybe one play where, yeah, he should have let it rip, but then there's other plays where we got to do a better job getting open, then there's other plays where we got to do a better job protecting him. So, you know, I mean, it's a combination of the whole thing. But there's not one answer where you can come back and just say, hey, Mike, trust your receivers. But the three techniques in my face, you know what I mean? There's a lot of different things. But I don't think we're far away. offensively. You know, I look at what we've done consistently in four games. I think we know as a group we can move the football. But sometimes the enemy that we play isn't the other team, it's ourselves.
All right, that is head coach Chip Kelly. Lots of questions for him, lots of answers. The important day tomorrow when the Eagles report back to the NovaCare Complex. And as the head coach said, this page has been turned. It's all about the New York Giants the rest of the week. A big NFC East game for the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday at MetLife Stadium. I'm Dave Spadaro. We'll be back tomorrow. Adam Kaplan stopping by at 11 o'clock. Eagles Live returns from the NovaCare Complex as the Eagles get back to the practice field. We thank you for joining us. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.